5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
All-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Well, it is the 9th of August, and it must be 9:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. It is the I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm on. To be honest, it's the new Panic Room. It's show 106, I think. We should call it the ropey old Panic Room. It's same old shit Panic Room, I think. Same old shit, different packet. But although probably the same packet when you look at it that way. So it is. I didn't have Pete there. That was the Rolling Stones, obviously. One of my favourite bands. Saw them live many, many years ago back in London at Wembley Arena many, many years ago. And they were absolutely freaking awesome. One of my favourite bands of all time. So, and you know, speaking of ropey old thing, but I better not. Speaking of my favourite things, she's going to kill me. She really is. I'm going to bring her on. I'm going to, because I've missed her this week. I have to say, we're that busy. We tend not to chat other than on the show. So I'm going to bring her on. It's got to be Extina. Hello.
Hi.
Join in.
That wasn't too bad. I mean, there's been so many speaking ofs, you know, and stuff. So that one wasn't too bad. You don't get, you're not in the doghouse for that one. So, you know,
oh,
you did correct
for that.
It.
I did. Yeah. I did. And we haven't. We must do your jingle as well.
Yes.
So. On a sliding scale of 1 to 10, just how drunk are you this evening?
On a scale of 1 to drunk, I am drunk. Yeah,
yeah.
It's good. The wine is
on
really good.
On a scale of one to I love you. That's my fun.
Exactly.
I love you.
I'm
excellent.
Feeling good. Yeah.
That is fantastic. So it's been. It's been a I don't know. It's just been. It's just flown by. It only seems like 4 or 5 days since we last did this. But hey, you know, what has been? Before I ask the question, we've got to play the jingle, haven't we? Here we go.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
What is new, pussycat?
You know, we need to coordinate this part a little better because I never know what's new. And the only thing that I want to talk about, I know, it's bad.
Give me strength.
I'm excited about the audiobooks that we're delving into. That's exciting for me. I'm really, you know, every day when I'm getting emails and stuff, I'm like, yay, this is exciting, and I'm listening to, you know, the auditions, and that's really cool. So I'm having fun with that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, obviously, it's your pet project. I mean, how are you finding the process? Is it a tough one, or is it easy?
It's not bad. It's pretty self-explanatory once you know. I mean, okay, I had notes and I had, you know, and when I first read through everything, I was like, oh my god, this is like, oh, I panicked a little bit, but no, it doesn't seem to be bad at all. So it's kind of
no,
fun.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I think,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, doing it through AACX, which obviously is part of Amazon. To be fair, what isn't part of Amazon now?
I know, that's the thing.
they do make it wonderfully easy, and they've got some great people on there. And the whole process is made, you know, simple. But I think that probably one of the things I like that you're doing is involving the authors. I know that there'll be publishers out there who'll just go ahead and write, you know, sign the contract. We're going to do an audiobook and you'll get what you get. But yeah, it's great that the I see some of the emails floating around and the authors love it. I mean, it's great because I mean, it's their baby. It's their baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get to see it. They'll hear it read out, and they get to see. So when the final product is out, we should start seeing them. Back in the September time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hopefully the authors will be as excited as we are about it, and
yeah,
it's a whole new sales channel, which is fantastic. It's a whole new place to sell the books.
Yep, definitely. Some of the emails from just like yesterday, the authors were so excited that it was contagious. I mean, I was excited to begin with, but then hearing them, you know, talk about how cool it was to hear their words, you know, read out loud. That was super cool.
I must admit, I mean, I can imagine, we posted Flanagan, which is mine, and nobody's applied for that, so I wouldn't know. Seriously, not one, and I'm just devastated. And if you're listening, you narrators, you're old bastards, you really are. not one.
Yeah, I have to say, it starts out really gruesome, though. I mean, within the first, maybe the second paragraph, you're going, wow. There's,
well,
that, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. I for the audition piece to get them to read, I didn't put that. I didn't even put that. But maybe it's a subject matter, maybe because it I don't know. Maybe they just think, no, that's just sick fuckery. That I'm not reading that. It could well be. It could. I should put Colton Forche on there, but it's probably.
Well, see, I was just thinking, it's not like
no.
You put Colton Forche up there, so I don't know what the problem is.
Colton's a bit. He's sort of the black sheep of the Hellbound Books family. We can't even have him on the road. We put Colton on the website. We will get the website dumped from the. I'll get the app dumped from. Certainly from seriously. So because when we were first developing the app, that was a sticking point. It was because there was a direct link to Colton. Now you can't do it. So he's got his own website. Bless him.
I know, that was the first thing I read by you, and I really enjoyed it. It was the first.
It's a great book. It's, I mean,
it is
because it's certainly. I wrote it, so I know it's written with humour. I mean, it's dark humour. It's funny. There's bits of it that I laugh out loud funny, and it's bizarro. You know, that is the nature of bizarro. I think because there's a few. I think probably what's scuppered it is the reference to, and again, it's just a throwaway line. There's no big descriptions or anything. Oh, two, I think there's two actually. There's one, the reference that Colton got his dog pregnant. That might have done it. Or there's a throwaway line about he goes to a garden party. Garden party. And the throwaway line about the Reverend and a miniature pony. So it could be either of those or both of them. Or it could be the fact that the couple who are holding the party are actually mutilating and roasting their own daughter. There's many things thinking about it. There are many things about that book. But it is fun. It was written with such tongue in cheek. It was just, it is fun. I still pick it up and read bits because it just amuses me. It amuses me. But hopefully somebody somewhere will be brave enough to tackle Flanagan. I really do, because I would love to see that or hear that as an audiobook.
Definitely.
But, I would too. So, Alexa, again, as usual, I sort of turned up 5 minutes before the show, pressed a few buttons. I did notice, I mean, we're not going to be able to have our first guest on, I'm afraid, because I cannot pronounce that name. You've done it to me again.
No.
She's been on before, hasn't she? She's been on before, and I couldn't pronounce her name then.
I think I have it. Yeah, I remember we asked her, and so I'm excited. We did have her on the show before, and she was just a delight.
What was her name again?
Ashley Giannacaro. I'm pretty sure I did that right.
How I would not have pronounced it. Thank
that's
you.
That's a cool name, though. I love that. That is really awesome. That's like badass. That's what that is.
That's a proper, proper, it's like Schwarzenegger. It's a proper name, isn't it? Big name. It's a big name. And then we have from Britain, which is the best country in the world ever. We have Luke Walker. So we'll be talking about the weather and a bit of politics, maybe about talk about queuing, because that's something we like in England, and complaining. Or rather, not complaining. Not complaining, because we do, and I've done it. I do it here. People, you know, you're moaning about, you know, you go out for a meal and you moan about, you go to somebody and moan about the service. They come over and they ask you, everything's great. It's lovely, you know, and we just don't like to make a fuss. Us Brits,
you know.
Have
you ever been with somebody at like the restaurant and all they do is complain about everything, and it just ruins the whole meal for you? You know, even if my whatever it is isn't wonderfully hot, or I am not going to complain. I'm just going to eat it with a smile. Yeah,
it's very rare. There's got to be broken glass in it, and that happened to me once.
Right?
Actually, I had, it was back in England, and I forget where we were eating, and I had a like a pint of lager, and there were bits of chunks of broken, like the stacked glasses on top of each other, and one had broken, and they served me this pint of lager with broken glass at the bottom. And either that, or they just didn't like me. It'd be one of the two.
Right.
And even then, in fact, I tell you, even then, they just brought me another one. I could have winged it and had a whole meal, but now it's fine. Another one. Even here, we'd not been here that long. We went for a Japanese meal, I think it was a restaurant. Me and the wife, and there was literally there was this cockroach floating upside down in the soup.
Oh my God! Gross.
And to be fair, I actually rescued it. It was still alive. I rescued it because I was worried about him. And I just fished this, and all they did was bring me another soup. That was it. Seriously,
wow.
I was like, what? If that had happened now, it'd have been all over social media. I'd have got a free dinner out of that.
Right.
But, like I said, didn't want to make a fuss. I was more worried about, more worried about the cockroach. Can you send me, just take him in the back, make sure he's okay,
Now I'm having flashbacks to your whole caterpillar story where you're, giving mouth to mouth pretty much to the caterpillar. And so you're just the savior of these cockroaches and hairy, poisonous caterpillars. It's wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to scream and run in the other room now.
I think because I sort of grew up with them, and obviously I studied zoology, so and I've handled, you name it, I've handled it pretty much, or dissected it in many ways. But I'm just totally immune to that. The kids are the same, especially my daughter. It's a bit of a worry because she'll pick up anything. And I'm having to say, you be careful. This is Texas. Pretty much everything will kill you or try to kill you.
Exactly.
Just don't go picking shit up. And she'll just pick stuff up and bring it. Oh, for goodness sake, she will. One day she's going to come in here. I know it. She's going to look what I think is going to be a 5-foot rattlesnake. Can we keep him? I can see that happening.
Yikes.
I can see that coming up. I'm trying to educate her in, look, not, because we do have snakes. We can handle our snakes, but they're not venomous. They won't, if you handle, they're not going to bite you and kill you. But rattlesnakes are going to do that, love.
Yeah. And then you have those hairy spiders, too, and they just really freak me out.
They're pretty good. They're awesome, Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They don't do much. They sit in the corner in their little web. They come out at night and eat crickets. That's pretty much it, just fine.
They just look scary. They do. They look so scary.
They're only babies. They're only, a couple of inches long now, They will get sort of hand-sized, but they're still babies.
Oh,
bless them.
Gosh. I'm looking at my hand now. Are we talking like a grown man's hand, or are we talking one of these little?
They will get to the size of a grown man's hand. Yes, apparently.
Oh God, no.
I tell you, it was funny when we were shopping for them that they had at the pet store Goliath bird-eating spiders, and those things literally will get to the size and beyond of a big dinner plate. They are the biggest spider on the planet. Look them up, and they are.
Oh, I don't want to.
And the only reason we didn't get one because that as a beginner spider, they can be aggressive, so they're not good really to handle. But the one we got, the pink-toed Chilean tarantulas, that are, you've really got to piss them off for them to bite. Really annoy them.
And just the name too, pink toes. I'm thinking, cute little, painted. Yeah, so that makes them seem a little sweeter and a little more, it's still, there's still a spider, though, and it's still, no matter what
it's
you call it,
spider.
It's still a spider.
Flower it up all you want, it's still a spider. Yes, it is.
It's a big bucket of nope for me, big bucket of nope.
A big dollop of no siree, yes. Jimmy Bible. Yeah. So, do we have a show? I have no idea. You've organised this. I'm just a talent, obviously.
We do have a show.
That's
a show.
Great.
I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to Ashley. It's been quite a while since we had her on the show, and she can write some crazy dark stuff. But I think she's here to talk about a romance, you know, so not so dark this time, which is awesome. So,
will you introduce her, and we'll whip the studio audience up into a frenzy, and we'll bring her on.
Awesome, dark romance best-selling author Ashley DiNacquero.
Ashley, are you there?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
How are you? did Christina pronounce your name correctly?
She actually got my name spot on, which does not happen often.
Do you know, if it had been me, no chance. That is not how I would have, not in a million years, never.
Yeah, most people get it wrong.
Yeah. I remember
I
from the last time, yeah. It was like a joke that, you know, James used to think I was getting people on the show that, you know, just had really hard to pronounce names just so, you know, he would not be able to pronounce them. And, you know, he's turned the tables now. He makes me... You know, most of the time, say the author's name. I think I should turn it right back around him, you know, to him and say, this is your, you know, your line here or something. But
you would do that to me as well, wouldn't you? You would do that to me.
I would try, but I don't know how well it would work, but I would try. So Ashley's calling all the way from South Africa. Is that correct? That is so cool.
Yes, I am in Johannesburg, South Africa. It is.
Oh, yeah, and I've got to ask. Nice. We had Rainier Paland on the other week. I mean, do you know him?
No, I don't think so.
No,
South Africa is a big place, and we all live really far away from one another.
It's just I get asked all this. Oh, I know so and so from England. Do you know?
I don't think it works that way. But
no,
so
not,
actually,
especially not here.
I know James was saying something about talking about weather. So what is your weather like right now there?
So it's winter here, so all of you guys that are moaning about it being hot, it's our winter, so it's actually been the coldest winter we've had in probably about 10 or 12 years, so we're all bitching about it being cold.
Yeah, it's super hot. I'm so looking forward to the fall. We have beautiful, you know, fall weather here, so in the fall. I mean, right now it's super hot, but you know what? I saw leaves falling not too, you know, a couple days ago. I was just walking outside, part of me was like, it's too soon for this because it's still, you know, freaking crazy hot. But you know, it excites me because I absolutely love the fall, and I definitely hope that we have a good one this year. I know we didn't have hardly any spring, though, so that was definitely weird. No spring at all. Went right from, like, winter to, like, freaking hot. And here we are still hot, but I definitely – so do you like the cold?
No, I'm not made for the cold. I live in Africa because it's supposed to be hot all the time. Winter – what is this winter nonsense?
No, see, I'm the total opposite. I would love the cold because, you know, I figure you can always put more clothes on, but there's only so much you can take off, and I hate sweating. I really do, and it's not as bad as when I lived in Florida. It's not so bad here, but no, I would definitely rather be cold. I want to be out. I want to be in the mountains. I want, you know, the snow, and I do.
We don't get where I live. We don't get snow or rain or we don't have wet winters, so it's dry and the sun is shining, but it's freezing.
I do like the cold in the winter. I do. I'm just poo-poo on this this summer crap. How hot do you guys get in the summertime?
Hot. often into the 40 degrees Celsius.
Oh, I'm not exactly sure what that, you know,
I have no idea how to turn it into Fahrenheit without Google.
It sounds kind of, it sounds pretty warm, warm though. I do, yeah, it does. I don't really know. But, no, I'm, no, and you guys do have AC, right? There's AC everywhere.
No, it's like, so, no, not everywhere. Like, in my home, we have AC in the master bedroom, but the rest of the house doesn't have AC. And we also don't, at the same token, have central heating. So for 3 months of the year, we're just in denial about it being cold.
No, if we, you know, I know that in Florida, everywhere there was AC because it gets freaking, you know, 100 degrees Fahrenheit or, you know, better sometimes. So it's definitely, there's AC everywhere. But, you know, and here in Tennessee as well, I don't think there, well, you know, yeah, I guess. I mean, there is AC everywhere, but sometimes you have to buy it yourself. But that's, you know, there's still AC. I can imagine, you know, if my AC goes out, I think I'm dying. You know, I'm dying. So I can imagine not.
We're used
not
to the heat.
Yeah.
No, we're used to it.
Mm-hmm. So you are here to talk to us about your book, Sucker Punch. Is that correct?
Sucker Punch, yes.
Yay, I want to tell us more about it.
Well, so 2018 saw me take a little jump from the dark side to the fluffy side, and I switched things up a bit, and Sucker Punch is written with Eva Logan, who is my real-life best friend, so it was so much fun to work with her and write together and being in the same time zone as the person I was writing with as well. So Sucker Punch is an MMA contemporary romance. It's a bit romantic suspense-y because I can't do straight-up fluff. And, yeah, we had so much fun doing it. We got to spend some time with our cover model, Boyd, is actually an EFC fighter. So he, allowed us into his little world for a little bit to do some research. And we went to the fights and to the gyms, and we got to ask all the questions, which was really fun considering I was writing a character that I had no idea anything about, so that helped. But yes, that's what Sucker Punch is about, something completely different for me, which was fun.
Yeah, that's definitely what I wanted to ask about. I mean, I know that, you know, normally you write really, really, as a matter of fact, so dark. I remember reading parts of The Goodbye Man, and was it The Goodbye Man or The Goodbye Girl? I can't remember. The first one.
The two, yeah, Goodbye Man.
I just remember there was one part, I think her arm was broken or something, wasn't it? And or her shoulder, something. I remember it turned my stomach. I was like, wow. It just totally freaked me out, and I could feel her pain, and that was dark for me. I mean, I'm sure there's way darker, but what is it like writing non-dark? I mean, was that a fun departure the dark?
It was fun, but it was also challenging because every time a character irritated me, I was like, well, we can just kill them, and Eva would be like, no, we can't kill everybody in the book. We need them.
That's
for the story.
Awesome.
It was, I think I needed it. It sounds so stupid, but I think I needed a mental health break from the dark.
Yeah,
and this was a way to just sort of do that. I mean, I did 15 dark books in a row, so it was time to just do something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it, but it was challenging in a different way, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think that's hilarious. You know, we can just kill them. We had a horror writer on one time, and he was saying, you know, he thought he would be really good at writing romance. He's like, right up until the first kill. It's like, that's awesome. It is. So do you like
the whole of Sucker Punch without murdering a character?
Yay, you did it. Did you hurt them at all, though? I mean, were they, you know bodily harm?
it's a fight book, so it was, we could do that, so I could throw him in the ring and let him lose and get really hurt, which was,
get ready,
I guess,
dirty
my way of compensating. It was good fun, yeah, to write that side of it as well. And
yeah,
I felt so sorry for Boyd because ask him 1,000 times a day, so how does it feel when someone punches you in the head? And he'd just be like, really?
Well, now when you're reading, when you, you know, I don't know how often you, I mean, you know, with writing so much, I don't know how often you can actually read, but do you enjoy reading the lighter side of, you know, I mean, romance? Do you like that?
I'm one of those readers that I will read anything except a cookbook. And anything that has talking animals in it. If the animals start talking, then I'm out. So I read sort of everything except like those two things.
Yeah, there was a long time that all I read was like dark romance, you know, or dark erotica, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, there are times I think that you can just have too much of, you know, darkness, and you have to, you know, kind of cleanse your palate or something and read something a little lighter. And but I see, for me, I don't know, I have to have a really strong story to just read, you know, like a romance or something, you know. So, and pet peeves, I have some pet peeves when it comes to romance books. And my first one is insta love. I, for some reason, and you know, the funny thing is I was mentioning it to on one of the shows one time, and I was like, you know, they gaze across the room at each other and they just know or something, and I'm like, that never happens in real life. And my, you know, wonderful co-host James was like, wait, it does happen. It happened to me once. So, you know, there you have it. I guess it does happen, but it's never happened to me. So I'm not a believer in insta love. I'm really not. Now, insta lust.
No.
Sure.
I do not write insta love.
Oh, good, good, good. I just have such a thing with it. I really do.
in fact, a lot of sucker punch is like a lot of hate before there's any love.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's great. Now, my other, I think, pet peeve when it comes to, and this would be, well, I guess this is just for romance, but weak women, you know, I want a strong woman, you know, I do, somebody who's not afraid to stand up for herself and give the guy what for, and, you know, like, you know, as much as everybody always talks about 50 Shades of Grey, and they kind of, you know, use that as a, you know, I don't know, they just, you know, they kind of, and Anna just, for some reason, got underneath my skin with her, you know, she's always gazing up at him from under her lashes, and she's just so meek and mild. No. Kick his ass.
So,
I mean, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be dominated in the bedroom, that is fine. That is great. But, you know, outside the bedroom, fuck him up.
In Sucker Punch, you meet our leading lady, Lola, literally takes our leading man into the ring and fucks him up.
Oh, that's so awesome.
she's like, I think, I've had readers say that she was weak in some ways, and some said that she was really strong in other ways. She is such a feisty character that nothing is straightforward. So she's quite like a fight. She's got a lot of fight in her. And the way we wrote the book, Chris, I wrote Chad's character and Eva wrote Lola's character. So said no professor of writing ever write your whole book in WhatsApp Messenger. But most of it happened over Messenger to one another. Like,
wow.
Can we just have a dialogue? So all the dialogue in the book is live written. So if Chad is talking to Lola, I was actually talking to Eva, and she was replying.
That
so
is so
if
cool.
Anything happens
that
to us, please delete our browser history and text messages.
That is really cool. You have an excerpt to read for us, don't you?
Am I supposed to be reading it?
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull it up because I didn't pull it up in front of me before we did this.
Oh, okay.
One second. I'm just gonna open it.
You know, the funny thing is I had something, was it last week, I think? Yes, last week I was going to read something on the show, and of course the second I said I'm about to read something and I go to open it up, you know, my whole computer freezes, and, you know, then I'm just sitting here going, this is a perfect time for this to happen. It always happens that way. So, and then James, say it's okay. We can edit it out in post. He says this all the time, but, you know, I don't actually think he does it. Right?
Okay, so I do have a short excerpt. Here we go, in front of me.
Okay.
Sucker Punch has quite a lot of side characters that will make a return. Mm-hmm. We have a second book, Brawler, set for next year sometime, when two of us can get ourselves together enough to write it. So there's quite a lot of side characters, and a few of them are in this little piece that I'm going to read for you.
Okay. Okay, it's all yours.
Okay. Three rounds never felt so long, and Chad has a few moments where I think it's all over for him. Every time the slightly smaller guy gets him down on the ground, he loses his advantage and takes a beating. Each time the rounds end, I thank the invisible gods that I don't believe in and clean his bloodied face, praying they won't call the technical knockout because there's just so much fucking blood. He spits out after rinsing his mouth, and a tooth comes with it, rattling in the bucket. This isn't boxing. It's barbaric. It's primal, animalistic fighting that I wasn't prepared for. When I look at him splayed out on the backstage area, I'm worried at the beating his body has taken. Tatum stands beside him, the tears still pouring down her face. Lola is there, too, a few steps back, and far better equipped to deal with what he looks like after a fright. I'm so sorry, Pepper Spray, he mumbles to her, his swollen, bloodied hand holding hers. The medical staff push her out the way, and she turns to look at me before running out of the room. This isn't for everyone. I follow her, but Lotus stays planted in the corner, seasoned at where to wait while the sick team tape him back together again. Just outside in the dark little passageway, I find Tatum with her back against the wall, her head in her hands. The sound of her soft cries are drowned out by the cheering from the arena. She's too soft for this place, too good for all this violence. Her heart can't take what she signed up for. Are you okay? She looks up at me with puffy red eyes and shakes her head. She throws her arms around me, shaking and crying, taking comfort from me. When I eventually hold her in my arms, it all feels so wrong, but so right at the same time. I'm like a thief in the darkness, hiding in the backstage alley, taking what doesn't belong to me, and I enjoy the tender moment where I'm the one she needs. I hold on to her, and the warmth is magical. Temptation is beautiful. The way it snakes in when it's not when you're not expecting it, slithering between us, revealing the feelings we hadn't seen before. So
like
that's
that.
A piece
yeah.
from Sucker Punch. And that is actually from Jason's point of view, which is neither of the main characters. It's actually our main character's best friend.
Ah.
So the whole book is written from different sides of the ring, well, of the hexagon. So inside, outside, from the corner, from the coach, from a few people.
And how much fun was it to research, you know, the boxing and stuff like that? Like, that must have been pretty exciting.
Okay, so we were so lucky. Two of the fighters from the EFC, which is very similar to your UFC, it's an international fight league here, actually allowed us to shadow them, to interview them, to literally
wow.
WhatsApp them and messenger them questions all the time. Boyd, who was one of them, is on the cover of the book. We had a cover for the book and we hated it. And we were like, so it's just not going to work if you're not on the cover. So we're going to put you on the cover of a book, even if you're shy and you don't want to be. That's just how it works. So it was so much fun to see inside there. Well, to see sort of the mental side of it. There were things that I never thought about. Like, he was like, he spoke to us about how they talk to each other inside the hexagon and like, goad one another and actually like have a conversation while they're beating each other to death. I'm like, I would never have imagined that you actually talk to one another in there. What could you possibly
right?
have to talk about?
Right. I mean, it's not all like, you know, your mama, you know, and stuff like that. I mean,
no,
wow.
like actual talking. So I was like, I was not prepared for that. And a lot of it was also the training and the weight cut and what goes in behind the scenes. These guys train so fiercely.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to fight night. So we went to an actual EFC event. and sat like in the spit zone where you were right up front, and that was also so eye-opening. The worst thing for me was that they don't wash the floor in between the rounds. I'm like, that is so disgusting.
Gross.
But
I'm still stuck on those. They talk. So it's like, you know, they're going to throw a punch and then be like, so how's Karen? And, you know, little Peter is, you know, doing this in school and, you know, another punch. I just can't imagine throwing a punch at somebody that I wasn't like really mad at. You know what I mean? That's going to be weird.
That was my first question to them when I sat down. I was like, why? Why do you literally get punched in the head for a living?
Yeah,
like, there has to be some huge why as to why you're doing this. It's not normal.
What was the answer?
So we interviewed two fighters that day, and there were two very different answers. So one of them was like, I do this so that I don't pick fights outside of this and end up in jail. And the other one was very much like, I like the attention, the show of it.
Oh, so wow.
Okay. So I think they're very different types of personalities that do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking there's way other ways to get attention, but, you know, if that's your thing, that's fine.
That's, I was like, you could sing,
wow.
You could...
Yeah, you're right.
And I was prepared for everything. We went off to fight night, and we'd obviously watched them train a bit. We'd watched videos. We'd interviewed them. We'd prepared for it. Fight night was a whole other thing. It's the sound and the smell and everything. But then there was a girl fight. I was not prepared for that. With their full face of makeup on and their hair did, get in that ring and just beat the bejesus out of one another.
That is so
Which
cool,
was,
though. Yeah. So what are you working on now?
So right after Sucker Punch, I released an even fluffier romance called The Last Resort, which is like a summer island surfer read, and I'm working on the sequel for that. And then I will be launching a brand new series in the new year, a dark romance, a very dark romance. And I'm also finishing up the Cut and Blow series, which is my dark romance hairdresser smutty, I don't know what to call it, series.
So you sound pretty busy.
Yes. I actually have just come off 2 months off, so I took 2 months break, and now I'm back at it.
That's awesome. I love when we have you on, and we definitely have to do it more. But we are just about out of time for our first segment, and... I know. Can you tell us where we can find you online?
You can find me at Ashley Giannacoro on Facebook, at Mrs. Giannacoro on Twitter and Instagram, and I have a readers group called Ashley's Hostage Situation where you can come. We do giveaways and nonsense there. That's on Facebook. Those are the easiest ways to find me, but my profiles are all open. I'm easy to find if you can spell my surname.
Or if you can say it. You don't even have to say it. Just spell it. But we have all of your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Ashley, they can go there and do that. And you have to promise to come back and see us again.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. In the new year when I'm ready to launch the new series, will be so much fun because it's such a different concept and it's something I think everyone will be quite shocked at.
Definitely, definitely. And I want to apologize for my co-host, James. He had a power outage or something, so that's why you have heard nothing from him. So, but I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and we will definitely have you back again. So thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome to be back.
Bye.
Bye.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. in the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Working all day, and the sun don't shine, trying to get by, and I'm just killing time. I feel the rain fall the whole night through, far away from you. California blue, dreaming all alone, nothing else to do. California blue, every day I pray I'll be on my way, saving love for you. California blue. One sunny day I'll get back again. Somehow, some way, but I don't know when. California blue. California blue. Living my life with you on my mind, thinking of things that I left far behind. It's been so long doing all I can do to get back to you.
It's back to, and yeah, the power is back on. So yeah, I know everybody missed me, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. Did you miss? I missed me. I did actually. I bet you didn't. Did you? I bet you didn't even know I'd gone. Oh, no,
I know. I missed you right away. You know, I noticed that I can hear the fiddling, and right away I was like, James is gone. I don't hear any fiddling. So.
I know. It happens here. Literally, we get three raindrops, and the power goes out. We had a bunch of electrical storms going on, and it may be that, or it may just be the digging the road. They're always digging roads up around here, so it could be anything. To be honest,
fingers crossed it stays on. Please do. Please do.
It's relatively clear right now, but what happened while I was away? Sorry to the first guest. I should think I was very rude. I was just getting going, and then I just buggered off. But
we had a great time. I love her. I absolutely love her, and she's got such an awesome voice that I could just listen to her all day.
She's got the best accent. And you actually got her name right as well, which was phenomenal. I'm so impressed with that. I would never have pronounced it like that ever. Ever.
I love that. I do. She's definitely great. I can't wait to have her back.
Next time she's on, you need to give me a heads up so I can practice.
Definitely.
I'd say, so I can practice what was it? It's just, that woman. What have you got? That woman.
That woman, Ashley. You can say Ashley. That's okay, too.
Ashley, that'll do. But hey, funny, I was going to say, the first segment, read an article. No, I'm lying. I actually saw it on the telly. the Trump's latest, apparently he's now going for legal immigrants, which kind of makes me a bit nervous because I am a legal immigrant. And apparently, I think once he's cleared out all the illegals and all the questionables, he's going for the, I guess people like me, so people who are here legally but have had recourse to public schemes, one of which is Obamacare. And as the guy on the TV pointed out, was taking Obamacare is actually a legal requirement. So if Trump gets his way, he will throw people out for fulfilling a legal requirement.
Wow.
Wow,
yeah,
I know.
It just gets better and better with him. It does. It just.
I'm fine. So I don't have Obamacare anyway, so fuck you, Trump, with a big stick. That's what I say. Trumpy. Trumpy. In fact, I'm gonna tell. Should we?
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things. So just writing that down, that bad things, get back, lots of things, bad things. But I would have loved to have been there and said, oi, Trumpy, okay, name them. Name me one bad thing that's done with uranium. Just give it a go. Give it a go, matey. And I bet he wouldn't, to be honest.
I don't understand. Then, why isn't there speeches prepared and somebody to say, you have to stick to this and you can't, and why don't they take away his devices as far as like Twitter?
They need to take his Twitter account off him because he's pathetic. He's like he's like a 13-year-old girl with it. Somebody upset. He's governing the country by Twitter, 140 characters or less. It's pathetic. But I've said it before, he's not statesmanlike at all. He's just a fat idiot. That's what he is, a fat idiot. Fatty, 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 fatty. That's what I say. So, and I know he listens in. So, hey, Don, thanks for tuning in. So, hey, something happens round about now. I'm ad-libbing because I don't know what's going on. Just give us a clue. I do tease. I do tease. It's my favourite. It's my second favourite part of the evening. So, here we go.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's Becky the Reviewer. Becky, how are you this evening?
Come on,
join in. Feel free to join in when you're ready.
She's fine.
Right?
Oh, well.
She's fine. I'm fine. That's fine. We missed you this past couple of weeks. We really have.
Well,
it's not the same.
I missed y'all too.
It's not the same.
I missed y'all too.
You're good. Good. So you should. So, hey, what have you got for us this evening, Becky?
Oh, I've got a really good one. It's written by Mark DeLoy, and it's called The Southern House. And it's published by Hellbound Books Publishing.
It is.
And this book's really special to me for a lot of different reasons. But I've known Mark for a long time, and this man can write. I mean, he really can take a tale and twist you up in it. And I don't know. There's just something about his writing that it always draws me in, and it just kills me. I'm just like, it freaks me out, and I'm like, I'm not turning the lights off. And the best part about it all is I never can put it down. I mean, you know, I read and read and read and read, and all of a sudden I look up and it's 4 a.m. and I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
It is, I found that it is. It's one of those books. I'll just read a bit more. I can't leave it there. I'll just read another. Maybe it's one more chapter,
right.
You know. Then you find your eyes are starting to sort of fog over, you know, because it's like you say, it's 3 in the morning. But,
yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just the creep factor is off the scale. It's fantastic.
I have not read it yet, but he was just on the show a couple weeks ago, and the reading that he did, I was like, I have to, you know, read this. And then, of course, because How About Now is, you know, delving into audiobooks, I've listened to the audition and then the first 15 minutes of, you know, the audio, and yeah, I really, really want to read this book.
How is that coming along? Have we got a narrator for Southern House yet?
We have, yeah.
Excellent. There you go. You see, nobody tells me anything, listeners. No, I don't
know. I know. You're so abused.
Only if I pay extra, but we don't talk about that. I'm not. Mummy, nanny says I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Wow. That's again just between us, James. You aren't supposed to. You know, all of our listeners know about these kinky. Moving right along.
Just between us, you, me, and the dwarves again. I'm afraid.
Exactly.
So we can edit that bit out in post. We're all right.
But we won't.
But no chance.
No.
But what I do like, I mean, Southern House. I mean, funnily enough, and it does tie in because some absolute literary genius wrote the strapline. Move over, Slenderman. There's a whole new reason to be afraid of the dark, and it was me who wrote that. And obviously, funny enough, we're actually going to the Slenderman movie is actually out. This me and the daughter are going to go see it because she's a big fan of Slenderman. She scares herself shitless at night talking about watching YouTube videos and. But obviously, Mark has done his creator. I think it's for me someone who's he's even more horrifying, more terrifying than Slenderman, which is great, you know, and he's Mr. Shift is just
frightened.
Yeah, and he's just I think all of us horror writers want to create that, you know, our Freddy Krueger or our Jason Voorhees or whatever, you know, that iconic character. And I think Mark's really going to have to do a sequel I mean, it can't just have Mr. Schiff pop up once and not again. So we need to nag him.
Yeah.
We need to nag him. Start harassing him.
I will be glad to do that job.
Definitely.
Good.
Consider that my assignment.
Stand over him with a large stick and not the same one we've stuck up Donald Trump's backside, obviously. Stand over him with a big stick until he's written that sequel. That's what I'd do.
Okay.
Because it needs it.
But he might like that.
I was going to say, a lot of our
But it works either way, doesn't it? So if he likes it, say, well, if you crack on and get this written, I will hit you with a stick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So either way, it works.
I didn't think about that.
It works. Becky, how many Becky stars does Southern House get?
Oh, 9.999.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Just because you like the 9.99.
Like the nines. I like the nines almost as much as I like the poems. I do like Becky's poems. Say poems.
I do like
my
poems.
I love poems. I do like you. Makes you sound a bit like a pirate, to be honest.
A southern pirate. There we go. Yeah.
A southern pirate. There you go. Well, it is shiver me timbers and slice the main brace. It is keeping with the nautical theme. Thank you so much for joining us, Becky. We have to say goodbye now because I'm getting bored with you now. So before my interest totally wanes, we will see you next week with yet another super duper review, huh?
Thank you,
Becky.
All
right, we will.
Thank you. Bye bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. I love Becky. You know, I've missed her. I've missed her so much.
Yeah.
I have.
She makes
so
me smile, you know, if I'm having a bad day.
She makes me. She does. She could cheer anyone up. She really could.
She's sung to me in everything before, so, you know.
I know. Yeah, but don't hold that against her. Don't hold that against her. Really, that's unfair to bring that up, Xtina, to be honest with you. You know. Are you still there? No, I've lost Xtina. You know, I think it's an evening of technical difficulties, but I'm going to carry on anyway because I can. And we have our next guest is a big favourite of mine. I have to say again, it's the absolute pleasure of reading this book before it's published, which was one of the perks of the job, I have to say. And he's ringing all the way from England, so we'll probably just spend the whole time talking about the weather. It's Luke Walker. How are you this evening, sir?
Okay. How
Hello.
You doing?
I'm good.
Can
so
you hear me?
I've got. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Grand.
I think we can all hear everybody.
Grand.
Yeah.
Grand. Smashing. I miss the Brits. I really do. Yeah. It's grand. Super. Lovely. Lovely. Super. Smashing. Really great. So I've got to ask, what is the weather like over there?
It's gone very, very strange for the last probably two and a half months. It's been a pretty glorious summer. And then today has suddenly changed to October. It's raining, it's gloomy. It's pretty much England as you expect it. And that's changed in about 36 hours.
And that's it now. That's it. Summer is over for you guys.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty good run, you know, June, July.
I keep on top. I read BBC News and what have you. The Sun, obviously, see what's going on. See who's shagging who. But
of course,
you get. I mean, it's not been that good. I mean, we've had a lot of overcast days, a lot of rain, and of course, a lot of you guys are having a heat wave over there, and it's like, hang on, hold on, there's something not right. I want
consistent heat for probably God knows 15 years.
It's funny. I think we. I don't know, it's you and me. And I was corresponding with another Brit on. It could have been you. I don't know. I remember the long hot. You're probably far too young. Long hot summer of 1976. Back when
I
was alive.
I missed that by a year.
Oh, did you? I was, you know, I was 48 when that happened, but not really. but yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, I remember that was just all through the 6 week holiday, school holiday, it was just blazing hot. And we had hose pipe bans and all the water shortage and all the, my dad was destroyed because his lawn was his pride and joy. It went all brown and crispy because he wasn't, nobody was allowed to water their grass. But yeah. It was good. I miss the British. I mean, here in Houston, we get, apart from when it's miserable and rain, we get hot, a week where it's a bit tepid, and then it's hot again. And that's it. We don't get any, I miss the seasons, I love autumn, I like the winter, but although we did have a bit of snow, actually, the other year, which was great. First time, I think it snowed in Houston in something like 10 years.
Wow!
Really? And it was, to be fair, it was been and gone in a day. Me and the kids went out and played in it before school in the morning, and by the time we got home, it was just a couple of sorry looking stumpy snowmen were left, and that was it.
Depressing snow.
When I was a kid.
When I was a kid in Texas. I remember one time it flurried, and that was it. It melted by the time it got to the ground, and that was it when I was in Texas.
Yeah.
One time.
And that
was it. It happens. Wow. Literally.
And everything shut down, too. They shut down everything. The schools were canceled. I mean, everything was like, don't go out of your house. It's Armageddon.
Well, I think it's an economical thing, because they could either buy all the stuff in for that one day every 10 years when it snows a bit, or just shut everything down. I mean, that's obviously the best thing to do. So, Luke, thank you so much for joining us from Britain.
No problem.
Whereabouts in England are you? I have to ask. I can detect a southern accent
from,
there.
Not too far from Cambridge.
Oh, you're at the posh end.
Yeah. Cambridge is a lot posher than where I actually am. I'm kind of between London and Cambridge, if that helps.
Yeah, I probably know it, actually. What's the town?
Peterborough.
Right, Peterborough. I know, but it's a shithole, isn't it? It really is. It's just...
Wow.
Yeah, I took that from the tourist information. It's a shithole,
Yeah, because obviously it's a big tourist spot is Peterborough.
Well, we've got a cathedral. That's about it.
Yeah, I do know Peterborough very well, actually. I will regale you with my story of Peterborough. But that's pretty cool. So you're at the posh end of England, where they have indoor plumbing and everything, which is fantastic.
I know. Obviously, have heating as well.
Up in Yorkshire. Up in Yorkshire, we've got outside bog. Go for a shit in outside bog. Take some cut up newspaper with you.
Why not?
So hey, Luke. I know we've corresponded a lot over the past number of months. Obviously, over the Unredeemed, which is one of my. And I shouldn't say it because we have other authors listening. One of my best ones. One of my favourites we've published so far.
It is.
I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, I think I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to let you discuss it. But what I like about it is that really none of the main characters are likable. They're all horrible, horrible people, and I love that.
That was fun.
We put on the blurb, it's the ultimate battle between evil and evil. You know, who's going to win? And it's just. That's it. So anyway, over to you. Tell the listener about it.
It's the story of a guy named Benjamin Harwood who died in the 1660s, and since then he has avoided hell, basically by sort of keeping his head down, staying low, not getting on to hell's radar. Because when he was alive, he was an extensive serial killer: men, women, children. He killed everybody, whoever he felt like. Like I say, he's managed to stay out of hell. And part of the way he's done that is when he was alive and killing all these people, he sacrificed a lot of them to a particular demon, a completely insane demon. And they had an agreement that if Harwood gave him these victims, when he died, he would be free of hell. And this has lasted for about 400 years. And now this agreement for various reasons, is broken. The demon is coming after him, and his choice is either an eternity in hell or waging war against hell, in effect. So to that end, he gets hold of various, I won't say friends, associates is probably the best term, who are all thieves, murderers, complete bastards. You know, they're as bad as he is, and it's evil against evil, as you say. He's waging a war against hell, because if he doesn't, well, you can see where he's going to go.
Mm.
Yeah, it was quite a lot of fun to write, I think, because, you know, bad guys are always more interesting than good guys. So when you've got
a bad guy, exactly.
I mean, a bad guy who embraces the fact he's a bad guy. You know, he's not ashamed of it. He embraces it.
And he's not afraid to just shit over his, again, use the word, his associates, the guys who are supposed to help him. He's quite happy. He's just like not bothered. He'll sacrifice them, whatever. But again, the fact that he is just he's a bad man. I mean, he's, you know. I sort of lets him off a little bit.
He makes no pretense of being anything other than he is. He's quite happy to, I suppose, celebrate the fact that he's evil. He doesn't care about right and wrong, heaven and hell, demons, potentially angels.
He sounds a lot like Donald Trump, actually. He's pretty much the ultimate narcissist. He will do what he wants. And again, sorry, just as an aside, as you probably heard there, you know, I'm not a big fan. What do the Brits over in Britainland, what do you guys make of the Trump Meister General?
Well, when he first, I know he's been in the public eye for decades, but when this whole thing first came along, there was a general reaction of, what the hell are they playing at? You know, this guy's not presidential at all. You know, he might just get some nutcase off the street to run for.
Well, they did, Donald Trump. Yeah, well, they did that.
And as things developed, it became less funny. It just became scary. And there's a lot of people. I mean, I think, James, you'll know this. British humour can be quite cynical, quite dark. Take the piss out of negative situations. So there's that as well. I mean, people are. You just go on Twitter for 5 minutes, you'll see people taking the piss out of him to his tweets. And then his visit here last month, I think it might have been the largest protest in London, well, across the country, but predominantly in London. I think it might have been the largest protest a lot of people have seen. You know, I think everything he represents and stands for, most people just loathe. You know, makes their skin crawl.
It's funny, he never actually bragged about the crowd sizes. So, which is unlike him.
I don't know whether any of his people told him that everybody was there to cheer him on or what, or whether he knew that people were there to basically say, you're a dick. I don't know. Wouldn't want to be a guy.
Scary stuff.
It is very
okay.
Scary.
Like 3 minutes ago, he said, you know, cynical and dark, and I was going to do this really cool thing where, speaking of, you know, cynical and dark, because you always have the great segues, James, and I never get any of them.
I do.
Now it's been, like, too late, and nobody remembers he said cynical and dark, but, you know, speaking of
cynical and dark. Now, with the segue.
Now that I've said it, like, 3 times, they'll remember. do you have an excerpt to read for us? Luke, please.
Yeah, give me a second.
Please. No. Read it yourself.
Hold on.
I know it's not like we, you know, plan these things out, you know, ahead of time.
No, we don't.
But it does.
Go for a bit of the first chapter.
You go for it. You go. The airwaves are yours, sir.
Just give me a second. This seems to be ridiculously slow. Okay. Well, you tell me where to stop, and I'll just happily carry on. I'll just read the whole book. Chapter one. I could say this began back in the old days when I committed my first murder. I could say it began more than 50 years ago when I started spending my time in the park close to Azalea Drive. I could even say it began when I died, but I think saying any of that would be a lie. This began when I met Haley. The woman entered the park at 5:30 that evening, exactly as I'd known she would. For the last 3 days, she had approached from the entrance on Bedford Avenue at around the same time and jogged through the green in 4 complete circuits. Dennis and I watched her from a wide cluster of oak trees in the centre, sitting up there on the high branches to study her speed, her grace. She was no older than 30, tall, thin, and had the look of a woman who didn't take much pleasure in exercise. She wore those dangling wires in her ears, the ones that connect to a device playing music. After watching her complete a jog that first night, I'd wondered about speaking through the wires in her ears, whispering right into her head. That wasn't my style, though. I'm not a fan of modern technology. Instead, the situation called for something a little more old-fashioned. On the third night, a Wednesday, Dennis and I watched and waited until she drew closer before asking Dennis to keep an eye out. While he wasn't particularly happy with my plan, as a cautious fellow, he agreed to keep watch. The woman passed our trees on her second circuit, and I swooped down, letting her see me from the corner of her eye. She turned, but all she made out was her long shadow, trailing off into the bushes and gravel that formed a curving trail around the pathways. There was no reason she should think anyone was in those bushes. If someone had been behind her, they couldn't possibly have made it out of sight so quickly. She jogged on. I followed, keeping to the spiky leaves, slipping through them and ignoring their stupid mutterings that I should leave. But I wasn't welcome there. The woman and I went round the park for another moment, passing a group of teenage boys who shouted unpleasant comments to the woman, then level with a sleeping man who gripped his bottle of cider while spittle soaked into his matted beard, before we hit an empty section of path. It was perfect. I shot from the bushes, streaked behind her, and crashed into half a dozen weeping willows. She heard nothing, but did see the tremors in the long branches several feet above. She came to a jerking halt, panting hard and staring at the nearest tree. By this time, I'd moved to float right behind her. Her thoughts sped in a blur of images, a bird hitting the tree trunk, a falling branch, or an animal in the bushes. For a second, her mind froze. I leaned in closer and caught a thought that wasn't much more than a flashing image. Snake. She wiped her mouth while perspiration on her forehead and neck cooled rapidly. Snakes. It was a stupid idea. No snakes in the park. Even if there were, there'd be grass snakes. Small. Frightened of human noise. Stupid idea. Interesting, I mused, although it wasn't with much surprise. Homing in on someone's weak spot has always been the strength of mine. The woman took a final look in all directions and resumed jogging. Dennis had followed and waved at me from the willows, his little face pinched and strained. Are we alone? I called to him and he nodded, still clearly unhappy with my minor haunting. To be honest, I knew it was risky. I hadn't remained on Earth for so long by causing trouble or giving myself away, but sometimes old habits do indeed die hard. I waved back to Dennis and followed the woman. She had barely covered any distance before I brushed against her shin. She let out a frightened shout and fell, tripping over her own feet. Hitting the ground hard, she rolled to the earthy flower bed and held her knees, panting and struggling not to weep. Blood ran in thin streams from cuts on both her knees, and her mouth trembled more in shock than pain. Her eyes rested on the spot I occupied on the other side of the path. She squinted, and in the shadows cast by the trees and bushes, she saw the suggestion of my shape. Despite it being only for a moment, it was long enough. She gave a tiny squeak, and one hand blocked her mouth as if wanting to keep any noise inside. I remained still, letting my energy return. Enjoying herself? Dennis asked, and while the woman couldn't hear his exact words, she caught something in the breeze, something she instinctively recognised as unpleasant, like a bad smell from miles away, blown in by a gust of wind. Still, her eyes didn't move from the area I filled. She was sure something was there, sure of it, and unable to see it. She stood, still watching for me, wincing as she took a hand from her wounded knee. Dirt and earth spread over the grazes, turning the white of her skin into a grubby red. She glanced down the pathway to the brighter area, not overhung by the old branches. Snakes, I said to her. She froze. Her eyes were stuck to the flower beds opposite. I flapped at the greenery. It shook slightly. Snakes. She couldn't hear my word as Dennis would have, and that didn't make a bit of difference. She sensed it, and there may have even been a bit of her mind, some part she no longer needed to use, and knew what had spoken to her. Snakes. Her focus flew back to the bushes across the path. She saw them shake and saw the first snake slither from the earth. It didn't matter that there was nothing there. She saw it.
The oh, snake I like that.
It should have.
I think we should stop.
Cleared the bushes and reached the path.
I think we should stop there. Yeah, but that was really awesome. I could have listened to you all day. I like it. I like hearing it in the author's voice. You know, I think that they do it a little different than, you know, just anybody would. I know we had an author on one time, and he refused to read his own stuff. He wanted whoever was reading it to kind of put their own voice to it. But, you know, I really think that, you know, whoever's writing it, the author himself, has a distinct voice that they're, you know, I don't know, I like that better.
We should bully Luke into doing the audiobook, actually.
Yes. I like that.
I can't imagine anybody being any better than that, to be honest. That's good.
Well, James, when you said about an audiobook of The Unredeemed, so obviously I told people, and I think one of the first comments I got was, oh, God, are you doing it yourself? And I was like, no, I'm not me.
Oh, that's bad.
You should. Oh, no, it would be great. It would be great. But no, we are beautifully read. And, yeah, I mean, it's a good creepy story. I like it. It's just... You know, it gives you an insight into the guy straight away that he just likes fucking with people, pretty
oh,
much.
Absolutely.
And he does it for a laugh. You know, there's no other reason than just to amuse himself. And I love that. I love that about the guy.
I think at some point, I can't remember exactly where it is, but at some point he kind of sums up his hauntings as petty, but it's what he does. You know, he admits that this sort of thing is small, quite low key, and then obviously it kicks off and things develop in a much, much way, but he admits that this sort of thing, to pass the time and fill his days to avoid hell, he's more than happy to do this sort of thing.
I like it. It's great. What a great guy. Again, as I said before about Mark's book, you know, we've got to have a sequel. You know, Mr. Harwood has to come back.
Well, I enjoyed, well, I don't know if I enjoyed spending time with this character. It was a fun tale to tell. And I do kick around a few thoughts, a few ideas of where things can go. It's a definite possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Good.
Yeah.
So, Luke, I have James, actually, I have missed doing 11 questions because I think we haven't done it in a couple of weeks. So, would you want to do 11 questions with me, Luke?
Yeah, carry on. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Play the jingle. Off we go.
And now, 11 questions.
I get so worried when I ask them if they would be willing to do it, and I haven't asked, you know, before, because I'm thinking they're going to say no. So it's always great when they say yes. Number one, the best or worst movie you ever saw?
Well, the best, without question, is the original Night of the Living Dead. My absolute favorite film. I could watch it any day of the week, any time of the day. As my wife would testify, it's. I think it's just a work of art. The worst, I absolutely loathe the film Love Actually. I think it's a vile piece of crap.
Wow.
I might be in a minority with that. I don't know. I think it's a really ugly, horrible film with just a nasty undercurrent throughout.
Say what you mean, Luke. Say what you mean.
Don't
flower it up.
Like 15 years ago, and I watched it once and just thought, Jesus Christ, you know, it's just not a pleasant film. But I may be in the minority for that one. I really accept that.
Wow. Okay, what was the first grown-up horror novel that you read?
I think, I'm going back a while, because I think I was about 10 or 11. It might have been The Rats by James Herbert.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes,
there
James
we go.
Knows where
classic.
I am. Which was a very, very 70s kind of pulp horror with quite a bit more going on. There was a lot of social commentary in that book. And I remember getting hold of a copy. I mean, it's quite a thin paperback. It's only a couple of hundred pages. I got hold of a copy, and my mother told me that I couldn't read it. And this was in the middle of the summer holidays. And, you know, if you tell an 11-year-old boy or 10-year-old boy he can't do something, what's he going to do?
Exactly.
Book in the space of one working day. Never look back. It was great.
Awesome.
Great book.
Totally related. It was actually the first grown-up horror book I ever read, and it was just
I think it might be for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, to go from obviously the kids' horror, I was probably about the same age. I was sort of middle school. Back in the days when they did middle schools in England. And I remember, it was being passed around. I got things like, wow, it blew my socks off because it was just so visceral and brutal and everything. It was just, brilliant, brilliant book.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Okay, what is your favorite cuss word? And you can say it. We're rated R. You can say it.
I wasn't expecting that. woo! Well, there's a lot to choose from. you can't go wrong with probably the strongest of the Anglo-Saxon words, can you? But I think wanker is always I think because it's such an English word, such a British word.
Wanker, isn't it?
You don't really get it anywhere else.
It's funny, Ash. I made some friends over here. We've not been here that long, and this guy had obviously picked up the word, but didn't know the context. He thought it was like just like a greeting. How are you doing, wanker?
Why?
Nice.
Yeah, it's not quite a pal or friend. It's not a greeting.
Yeah, he thought it was. How are you doing, wanker?
It depends on your relationship with the person you're talking to.
Okay, what is the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
Oh, wow, dark. I imagine most people say something along the lines of alone and unloved. But in terms of pain, being bricked up, you know, sort of an Edgar Allan Poe style, buried alive.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Slowly crushed to death, you know, something that Poe would have, did. I don't think ever write about anybody being crushed, but about people being bricked up or buried alive. But yeah, something along those lines, something slow where you know you're dying.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, somebody shoots you in the head, bam, you're dead. You're being bricked up, you know it.
Okay, who is your biggest influence, either in writing or just in life generally?
Writing. I'm probably going to say the same as a lot of other horror writers, Stephen King, without question. In sort of general life, and I know it's going to sound cheesy as hell, I would say my wife, because I think every writer has, you write for one person to begin with, and that's the person you kind of got in mind while you're writing the book. And obviously she's the first person to read any of my stuff before it goes anywhere. She's the reader I'm writing for. So that becomes the influence.
That's a great answer. I love that. That's not cheesy at all.
That's so sweet. Yeah. That's so sweet.
It is.
I could have made it cheesy. Yeah.
If you were God for a day, what would you do?
Kill Donald Trump.
Yay!
Sorry. I think I was just trying to improve things on a massive global scale, because at the moment everything is just completely going down the toilet. I don't think there's anybody who would, any rational person who doesn't think that's the case. You know, so if you could do something in a drastic action to fix that, that would be the move to make.
Yeah. Who or what, in your opinion, is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Sorry, say again, you just cracked up.
Okay, who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being, in your opinion?
Wow. These are tough, tough questions. I don't know. I don't know if I would... pick one, because I said earlier, you know, the bad guys are always more interesting. So in terms, I think it's, you know, you're talking about the most sort of depraved or unpleasantly evil. Your first villain, I think of, is someone like Hannibal Lecter, but he's also extremely interesting.
Right.
He's probably not the sort of person you go for. You probably just go for a character like Pennywise from It, who, you know, I think killing kids, I think most people would say, even if they're not a fan of horror, a creature that harms children is as low as you can go.
Right.
So someone like Pennywise from It is probably, probably the way to go.
Awesome.
Well, that's still a very interesting character.
Yeah. Who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
Absolutely none of them. I could genuinely not about that.
I love that answer. That's great.
I know. I think most people think that all Brits are, you know, rah rah rah, God save the Queen, and I don't care about. I'm completely indifferent to all of them. I don't care about the royal family at all.
Excellent. Pleased to hear it.
Yeah, it is. That is good. which is your favorite franchise? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
I'm genuinely not really a fan of the Saw films. Halloween, obviously the first one's a classic. I'm very, very fond of the third one as well, I think, because they tried to do something different.
Yeah.
the original Elm Street, again, Stone Cold classic. The sequel's up and down. I'm fond of the second one. I think there's some great ideas in the third one, probably because Wes Craven wrote that one. And they do sort of go downhill.
They all do, I'd probably
go for Elm Street just because, again with the rats, I watched the first Elm Street at a very young age. Probably 10 or 11, I don't know. And that had quite a big influence on just me on sort of imagery and just a sense of dread. I go with Elm Street, I think.
What is your least favorite part of the writing process?
I know a lot of people don't like when you're editing and rewriting and all crap. I don't mind that. I quite like sort of looking back at stuff and thinking, I need to improve this or just cut that bit completely and move stuff around. When I hit probably about 30,000-40,000 words, I do occasionally kind of run out of, not steam exactly, but that point leading up to it, it's fresh, it's new, and then by the time I hit 40K, it's just like, oh God, is the end ever in sight? So probably the midpoint of the first draft, if the draft is going to be about 90,000 words, the midpoint is I start to think, is this book ever going to finish?
That's good. And this bonus question is just for me, really. Baseball or stamp collection?
I know
he's going to say cricket.
I know nothing about baseball at all. Probably stamp collecting. If you put it,
yay!
We can't be friends.
Sorry. The only thing I know about baseball is Sam Malone playing baseball in Cheers. That's it.
Yeah. Luke, it's pretty much rounders. He used to play it at school. It is rounders. Yeah, that's it. That's baseball.
Yeah. But, okay, I can get behind that.
With funny trousers.
Yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time for our show. It went by way too fast. Can you tell us where we can find you online, Luke?
I'm on Twitter quite a lot. I'm at Luke Walker Books. My website is www.luke.com.